This morning, we're going to get back into our series called Faith Works, which is our study in the book of James. And I've already told you this, but I want to say it again. I love the book of James. And the reason I love it is because I believe it holds within it practical life application on things that we deal with daily in our Christian walk. And today's topic certainly falls into that category, and it should be valuable to anybody who is in this place today who is a Christ follower. So let's get right into the scriptures. We're going to start with James chapter 1. Verse 12 through 18, it should be up on the screen. You can follow along with me. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This morning, I want to talk about a universal subject that affects every one of us. And that is temptation. Can anybody relate with this topic here today? Temptation is an effective tool that is used and has been used by our adversary Satan. And it began in the Garden of Eden with the fall of mankind. God told Adam and Eve, he said, you can eat of anything in this garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he further went on to say, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Well, the cunning little serpent comes into the garden and he says, you will not surely die. Don't you understand? God doesn't want you to eat of that because when you do, he knows you'll be like him. You will be on the same level as he is. Well, we know the rest of the story. They bought into the lies of the enemy and temptation got the best of them. And they did eat. And in doing so, sin entered the heart of man. And man experienced a spiritual death, separation from God, through his sinful actions of disobedience to God's command. And in addition, several curses were placed upon mankind as well. And yet God, in his infinite wisdom and his deep-seated love for each and every one of us, in his goodness, he didn't let it in there. But he gave man another opportunity when he brought his Son into the world, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and who atoned for our sin through his shed blood, allowing us, once again, allowing mankind to be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. So you can see from the very beginning, temptation has created difficulty for mankind. And yes, it even creates difficulty for the regenerated mind of the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, you can be saved by the blood of Jesus. You can be filled by the Holy Spirit. You can be washed in the Word of God. And temptation can still exist in your life. In fact, I will go on the record to say that once you accept Christ as your Savior, the enemy will look for opportunities and ways in which to tempt you. Because his desire is to derail your walk with Christ. As the Word says, he is like a lion seeking who he may destroy. It's in his job description. But don't throw in the towel yet, because I say this. Because the Word of God says here, blessed is the man who endures temptation. The Greek word here for blessed is makarios, which means happy. So it is a happy man who, when confronted with temptation, overcomes temptation or does not succumb to it. And then it goes on to say that his reward is the crown of life. So there are two rewards that come to us as we overcome temptation. The first one is happiness, and that is immediate. And the second one is the crown of life, and that is eternal. And these promises are given to those who demonstrate and prove their love for God by showing endurance whenever temptation comes their way. So this morning, I want to talk about 3 points regarding temptation. Imagine that, a pastor preaching a 3-point sermon. It falls right into the way they told you to do it in Bible college. 3 points. I want you to first understand the source of temptation. Secondly, we're going to talk about the process or the steps of temptation. And ultimately, and what we're going to spend the majority of our time on, is actually overcoming temptation. So let's begin by looking at the source of temptation. Verse 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. I've heard many people say to me in my life, 'God is testing me right now.' And I believe that God allows testing and he allows struggle into our lives as a way to mature us in our faith and to conform us more into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. But you must understand this. God does not test you by tempting you. He does not tempt you to do evil or to sin. You need to get rid of that stinking thinking right now. Temptation is not from God. It is not of God. God is holy and temptation has no part of who he is." Verse 14 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." So according to the scripture, temptation comes from within, within our own desires, and we are then enticed by them. It is our flesh that creates temptation. It is our carnal nature. We are all born into sin, and a sin nature exists in each one of us, and that sinful nature is prodded by our enemy. And Satan knows clearly well where your weaknesses lie. And he knows what your hot button is. And he'll push it over and over again. He will use your weaknesses against you at your weakest moments. And since he knows what your weaknesses are, he will revisit that same weakness over and over and over and over again. It kind of reminds me of when you cut yourself and you bleed. Your blood begins to clot. And it forms a protective covering over the wound that we call a scab. Well, Satan scratches that scab off and it bleeds again. And when a new scab forms, guess what? He comes back and he scratches at it again. He picks it off. And some of us have been tempted for so long with the same issue and have given in so many times to that temptation that we actually believe that we stand powerless against certain forms of temptation in our life. We have predetermined that we will fail when certain forms of temptation come our way. And guess what? If that's what you believe, you will fall. Every single time. You know where your weaknesses lie. Every one of us knows that better than anyone else. Each of us has that little scab that gets picked at continually. You've had to deal with it most of your life. And on many occasions, you've given in to temptation and you've acted out in sin. And the result of that is leaving you defeated as a Christian. You're downtrodden. You walk around with no joy because this happens to you over and over again. But that is not at all what God desires for your life. He wants you to live a life of victory. And do you know how you live a life of victory? By having victories, experiencing victories daily in your life. And one of the best ways to experience victory is to overcome temptation when it comes your way. That's how you experience victory. Unless you think that this battle is exclusive to you, and maybe God doesn't really understand what it is that you're having to deal with, it's important for you to understand that Jesus knows temptation. He understands temptation because he experienced it himself. He spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting, and Satan tempted him relentlessly. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're going to get into that a little more depth later on in this message. So he both understands and he is secondly sympathetic to your temptation. In fact, it says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And I think the key words into that scripture is "yet without sin." That must be our mindset. That's got to be our goal, that whenever temptation comes our way, we plan to walk away without giving in to sin. And that is possible, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to tell you today that that is possible. I think it is vitally important for every one of us to realize that you aren't exempt from temptation. None of us are. Temptation is going to be present. So don't let it catch you off guard. You must be prepared for it. It reminds me of the many televised political debates that we watch during the election process. Sadly, the candidates are given the majority of the questions ahead of time. so that they're not caught off guard, so that they can answer in their normal, canned way, that you get so annoyed at listening to how they answer those questions. But if you happen to come up with something off of the cuff that they weren't prepared to answer, and without a teleprompter, I might add, there's a good chance it would be a train wreck. Right? That's what happens when you're unprepared. It's a train wreck. It's really no different with temptation. Certainly, we can't always know what form of temptation is going to come our way or when it's going to come our way. Our adversary doesn't give us an agenda and say, David, I'm going to tempt you on Tuesday to do something. We don't know that. But if you know what your area of weakness is, if you know what area the enemy tempts you with, and you be prepared for it when temptation comes, you'll be better equipped to fend it off, and you will not allow it to push you into sin. If you are prepared for temptation and you fight it when you're confronted with it, you can and will come out victorious. You see, you can handle temptation, or how you handle temptation is really what separates the men from the boys of faith. You can either succumb to it and roll over and say, put a fork in me, I'm done, or you can fight temptation. It will clearly show you how much you believe in and how much you truly utilize the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Because preparation combined with the power of the Holy Spirit allows you to deal effectively with it. It is a recipe for success, and victory will be yours. So now we covered the source of temptation. I want to go on to the process of temptation. Verse 14 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." There is definitely a process that goes on with temptation. Something initially triggers temptation. It always begins with a thought, or a memory, or an opportunity, or a proposition. Something is presented, and then your brain takes over. And this is where sin is conceived. Your mind can take that thought, or that memory, or that proposition, and make it bigger than life. Your mind can create an actual play-by-play scenario of what you're considering doing, even before you act in sin and engage in whatever sinful activity you're contemplating acting in. And right there is where sin is birthed. It is birthed in your mind. And rather than being concerned for the sin that you're about to partake in, your mind will always make whatever it is seem appealing to you. That's the power of the mind. During moments of temptation, your mind will seldom ever consider any fallout from acting out in sin. It will never give a thought to the many ramifications that are going to occur through your sinful activity. You see, your mind is the most powerful tool that you possess in the physical sense. It can also be your most destructive force during times of temptation. And the answer to all this, in my opinion, is not to allow your mind to take control during times when temptation presents itself. Because your mind can and your mind will betray you time and time again. The ability of the mind to reason and to particularly justify all the wrong courses of action is monumental. Have you ever noticed at times in your life when you have given in to temptation, how that prior to you acting out in that sin, your mind allowed you to justify your actions? You can be honest. That's the way it is. We all know that. Your mind justifies it. Here's a list of justifications, and I've heard them all. I've heard about every excuse and justification you can believe for sinful activity in the life of believers during counseling sessions. Here's one. Well, it's only this one time. How could it possibly hurt me? Hey, I'm a man, and I have my needs. It's only marijuana. They're legalizing it for medicinal purposes, so what's the big deal? It's harmless. What does it matter? We're going to get married anyway. Heard that one. They'll never know the $20 is missing from the petty cash drawer. It's just a little white lie. It can't hurt anybody. You know, Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine, so if I get tanked tonight, Jesus will surely understand. I had a young man tell me that. God created woman so beautifully, He would certainly understand my appreciation for wanting to look at this pornography. And our number one justification, well, God will forgive me afterwards. How many times have you checked out, acted in sin, because you knew the grace of God would be there to save you? That is abuse of grace. And yet we do it over and over again. The list of justifications for sin goes on and on. It is a way that we diminish the severity of our sinful actions that we're about to partake in. It's taking a sinful act, and in essence, we're being politicians. We're putting a politically correct spin on our sin to make ourselves feel better about what it is that we're contemplating participating in. That is the power of the mind, and how that it can motivate us into sin when confronted with temptation. When you rely on your own strength and mind to overcome temptation, you will almost always lose. So having said all this, let's talk about the most important part of this message today, and that is ways to overcome temptation. And the first one is avoid it. Temptation will always find you. He knows your address. Okay? So why do we put ourselves in positions where temptation is guaranteed? In other words, we don't protect ourselves. We are our own worst enemy. And we set ourselves up for failure. What I mean is this. If you are tempted by drugs, then don't hang around with the crowd that takes them or can provide them for you. That is just common sense. And yet people who struggle with drugs hang out with the crowd that takes drugs, and they wonder why they get into drugs over and over again. If you're tempted by internet pornography, men, then you get a filtering system put on your computer, and you take your computer out of the corner room where you can be private, and you bring it out in the center of your house for everyone to see, and you've got some accountability. If you're tempted by alcohol, don't hang around in bars with your friends. If you're having a hard time keeping your relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend sexually pure, then don't spend time alone together with no accountability. It's a recipe for failure. If you're tempted to take your paycheck and to go down to the casino and gamble every dime of it away, then don't you handle your family finances. Let your spouse, so they can hold you accountable and they can prevent you from making stupid decisions like that. The list of temptations is vast. That's just five. We could list 100 of things that people are tempted by daily. You see, avoiding temptation is not just a spiritual concept. It's a common sense concept as well. It's establishing patterns in your life, and you stick with them. So before you go anywhere, before you do anything, have you ever sat down and thought to yourself, asked yourself this question, how is this going to affect my relationship with Jesus Christ? Will this put me in a position where I'm going to have to fight unnecessary and unwanted forms of temptation? It's important to avoid temptation by using your brain and not allowing your brain to use you. Remember that powerful muscle located between your ears, right down in the center of your cranium. It can sabotage you, or it can be your best friend. You can use it to your best advantage if you can control it. A second way to overcome temptation, be prepared for it. Since you know temptation is eventually going to come knocking at your door, be prepared. Be ready for his arrival. Have you ever noticed in life when you've been completely blindsided by something, in retrospect, your response was totally different than it would have been had you had a chance to dissect it and to plan for it ahead of time? You know a tornado is coming, so what do? You take shelter, right? You know that your rent is due the first of the month, so you put money aside every week to help pay for your rent. Since you know temptation will come, and since you generally know where your area of weakness lies, be ready to shut it down when it comes upon you. I have had people tell me that they are completely unable to overcome certain types of temptation. And furthermore, they act as if their particular issue or struggle or great temptation is exclusive only to them. They even say, I challenge anyone to be able to endure what I am continually tempted with. But there's a scripture in the Word of God that tells how wrong that statement is, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The scripture tells us two things. First of all, you can never be tempted beyond your ability to decline that temptation. And secondly, there will always be an escape hatch for you when temptation comes. Being prepared is essentially looking for that escape hatch and having a plan before temptation rears its ugly head in the first place. Finding that escape hatch can be something as simple as stopping dead in your tracks and for a moment crying out to God. Say, Holy Spirit, the Word of God says that your strength is made perfect in my weaknesses. Well, I am weak at this moment, and I need your perfect strength to overcome this. It can be as simple as calling a brother or a sister in the Lord, someone that knows you, someone that maybe knows your area of weakness, and simply say, I'm struggling right now. I'm being tempted to do something that I know is not right, and I don't want to cross over that line. Can I just talk to you for a few moments? Will you encourage me? Will you pray with me? And as basic as that is, you'd be surprised. This is called accountability. This is called Christian accountability. You'd be surprised at how many people have been saved from acting out in sin by simply picking up the phone and calling a brother or a sister in the Lord. And I don't know of any true brother or sister in Christ that wouldn't be willing to take your phone call and to encourage you and to talk you away from the ledge, as it were. It reminds me of when they tell families to practice a fire drill in their house. Walk your children through it. Show your children that they should crawl on their knees, and we will meet as a family at a certain point. And this is the window, or this is the door that we will exit out of. It seems elementary, but yet few of us have ever done that with our family. But even fewer people develop a plan of action for when temptation comes. And also, if you struggle with temptation, it's always the same issue, it's important to pray about it. Specific prayer and asking God to help you before temptation comes is important. Many Christians act like they are in this battle all on their own, and they never give God an opportunity to work His power in their life and to prove to them that His power is greater than this temptation. Allow Him to work on your behalf. You've got to remember that prayer changes things. We don't pray just to hear our lips rattle. We pray because we truly believe that God can help us in our time of need. Ask God for help in overcoming temptation. The third way to overcome is to combat it. I told you that Satan had tempted Jesus, and we're going to read about it in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. It'll be on the screen. It says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.' Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then he brought him to Jerusalem. He set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give..." Now Satan's talking scripture to Jesus. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. What we just read said that Jesus was tempted for 40 days during his fast. But in addition, Satan tempted Jesus after his fast on three different fronts. First of all, he tempted him with food because he knew he was dramatically hungry. Secondly, he tempted him with all the worldly possessions if he would simply bow down and worship Satan. And thirdly, he tempted Jesus to test God's power. He said, "Throw yourself off of the temple. See if you'll truly be saved from death." But something that few people ever realize and bother to take out of this story is found in verse 13. "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." This was not the only time that Jesus was ever tempted. This is the only time that it was documented in the Word of God, or one of the times it was documented in the Word of God. Jesus knows well about temptation because he walked this earth like a man in the flesh, and he dealt with things that we have to deal with. But that's not the point that I want to make this morning. I want to talk about how he combated the temptations from the enemy. And it's very simple. And his response, every one of them started with, "It is written." He verbally replied from the written word of God. The Son of God, with all of his power and all of his might, didn't send a bolt of lightning and blow Satan up. He quoted scripture. And I think that this is the clearest example of what we have as followers of Christ to defend and to come up against temptation. Sometimes you got to talk a little smack to your adversary. "Get out of my face, Satan. Greater is he who is in me than you who's in this world. Take a hike, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has delivered me from the power of darkness, and he has conveyed unto me the kingdom of his Son. You have no power over me. You have no dominion over me, so get lost." You need to stand up and defend yourself and talk some smack every once in a while to your adversary. And the very best kind of smack that you can talk to Satan is the scriptures, the written word of God. There's not only power in the word of God against our adversary, but there is power when your spirit hears your voice speak the word, the truth from the word of God. Can you see how important a daily diet of reading the scriptures every day can be to any believer in Christ? Yes. Christ deflected temptation by speaking forth words of life that were greater than anything that Satan brought. Jesus brought his A game. And when you realize as a child of God that you too have an A game, when you realize that you hold all the weaponry that you need to thwart an attack of the enemy through temptation, temptation can become controllable and victory will be assured. We act as if we stand powerless against certain forms of temptation when nothing could be further from the truth. And that brings up another point. You can overcome, but you must first want to overcome. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor David? What I mean is that if it is not your true desire to overcome temptation, you won't. Some of us enjoy involvement in the kind of sin that temptation can produce. I mean, until you decide that you want your life to exemplify one of holiness, you will not overcome temptation. Because some people like to flirt with sin. Some people like to flirt with temptation. In Arizona, in the middle of the summer, rattlesnakes come out. They like to bask on the cool greens of the golf courses. And I was golfing one day. We came upon a green to find a diamondback rattlesnake wrapped around the pin. My friend, who isn't too smart, decided that he was going to taunt the rattlesnake. And he's doing this. And he's doing his little Muhammad Ali moves. And this snake is coiled. And he's cocked and ready to go. And he took a strike at my friend, and thank God he missed. And finally, a groundskeeper came out and had one of those devices and picked the thing up. And he took it out and he threw it in the desert. And the reason I tell you that story is we can be the same way with temptation. We can flirt with temptation and we can flirt with sin, thinking that we can dance around it, thinking that we can taunt and get close and it might not strike us, completely forgetting how fast that snake can bite, completely forgetting how fast sin can enter our life. In this mindset, this taking temptation casually is a result of trying to live life in both camps. One foot in God's camp and one foot in the world's camp. And that is a recipe for failure, and no one will succeed doing that. We've got to decide, church, if we are really and truly going to sell out to Jesus Christ. Some people don't think they can because for some reason they feel this pressure of not being accepted by their peers, and it controls them. I think it happens more with the young people in school, but I've even seen adults that are hung up about what people think of them and how they're perceived within this community. I don't care what people think about me in this community when it comes to my relationship with Christ. I am going to live for the Lord regardless of what they think. They can call me a freak or whatever they want, but that's the way I'm going to live my life, and that's the way you need to live. or the fulfilling of our sinful desires overrides even the desire to get close to God, or the lure of sin still has a stronghold upon you for whatever reason. And the reason is because you haven't completely given your heart and your life to Christ. You want a portion of Him in your life, but you don't want all of Him. All of these examples are a matter of the heart. It's far more than temptation. It's a matter of your heart. This is when you need to re-examine your life and determine if you are truly going to serve the Lord or if you're just going to be a pretender. Because this world is full of too many pretenders. During my years at Phoenix First Assembly, I ministered to men who were deeply struggling with sexual sin, who you would classify as sexual addicts. And they are the legitimate ones who come in who really want to be delivered from this sinful lifestyle. And then there are the pretenders who come in and they're only there because their wife asked them to come in or a family member asked them to come in. They are not at all serious about overcoming this problem. And I used to have to get in the habit of weeding through them very quickly because I didn't have time to waste with people who were riding the fence with regard to sin in their life. I cannot help people who deep inside do not want to be helped. And truthfully, God can't help you if you are simply casual about overcoming sin in your life. If this is as little of importance to you as that, guess what? You might as well not even call upon on our Lord, because He wants to help you. He wants you to be fully committed in your relationship to You. And when you are, He will allow you and give you the strength to overcome temptation. You see, the power that you need to overcome temptation in your life is only limited by your unwillingness to give it all away to God. And when you don't give your life fully to God, then you wonder why you can't say no when temptation comes knocking at your door. In Matthew chapter 8, we're told the parable of the sower. And this is where Christ talks about the different kinds of soil and the seeds that are planted within them. Here He compares the seed to the Word of God and the soil to us, to people. And it says in Matthew 8:13, "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away." When we are not rooted in the Word of God, church, and when our relationship with Christ is far less than it could be, it is a recipe for failure during times of temptation. There's a young man in my life who continually struggles with temptation. On the surface, he really says that he wants to serve the Lord. He says that. But his actions always speak otherwise. He makes poor decisions. He hangs out with the wrong crowd. He cares far too much about how he is perceived by his friends, by that crowd that he hangs with. And the lure of sin still has such an incredible hold upon his life. For some reason, he cannot bring himself to selling out to God. He has such great potential. This kid is phenomenal. He has such great potential. He has such a kind heart. He would make a great mentor. He could be a poster child for what a young man of God could look like. But until he comes to the point of wanting to live his life away from his past and now filtered through a life lived for Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit within him, I fear that he will always succumb to temptation. If he would ever get rooted, what a difference it would make in his life. And that goes for us. It goes for you and me. We must get rooted in our walk. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." I don't know about you, but I want to be approved. I want, when I endure temptation, and I greatly desire to receive that crown of life, so that I can lay it at the feet of Christ when I arrive in heaven. And I believe that your ability to endure is deeply rooted into your thinking. It's deeply rooted into your thinking and how you view yourself or don't view yourself as a child of God. You see, you need not fear. You need not dread temptation. In fact, you can literally come to the point of saying, "Bring it on." Isn't that nice? Would you like to be there? You can be there. You can say, "I can take anything you can bring my way, Satan, because the power of God is alive and it is real and it is well in my life." You can get to that point. When you truly get to the point of trusting and believing in the power of the Holy Spirit within you, you no longer fear temptation, Because you know that it is in your own moments of weakness is when the Holy Spirit takes over and His strength is made perfect and you're allowed to overcome. When your flesh is weak, it says His strength is made perfect in your weakest moments. Fill your spirit with the Word of God and allow God's Spirit to reign supreme within your heart, within your life. Fill your spirit with God's Word. Pray for strength. Pray for protection each and every day before you leave your home. I can't tell you how many times I have personally prayed the scriptures found in Ephesians chapter 6 about applying the full armor of God so that I may be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy, the little fiery darts that I know he's going to throw my way. I have prayed it, and I have envisioned while I prayed girding my waist with the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I envision having shod my feet with the protection of the gospel. I envision taking the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of my enemy and wearing the helmet of salvation and carrying the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is how you endure temptation. You fight it and you're prepared for it. And when you do endure temptation, it brings you happiness and it brings you resolve and you receive great satisfaction in your Christian walk. That's the victory that I was talking about earlier, and that's how Christ wants you to live. He wants you to experience those daily victories, and serving God becomes a joy and not something that you worry about constantly because of your being tripped up by temptation. And you know what? Ultimately what it does is it brings God's great joy. It brings Him great joy. Scott, if you guys want to come up and help me close this down. We have two ministries that operate right here at Bethel Assembly throughout the week. We have Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a group that meets here Monday through Thursday. And we have Celebrate Recovery, which meets here every Friday night. And what I love about these groups and the people who are within these groups is their transparency. They're the most transparent people you will ever meet in your life. They have a clear understanding of what temptation is. They understand the temptation to fall back into old patterns and how real that it is. And therefore, every week they attend these meetings to prepare themselves when these forms of temptation come. They take time out of their day, every day, to be reminded of the trap of sin and the lure of temptation in their life. They know well these battles because they struggle with them daily. Some of them struggle with them minute by minute, hour by hour. It's very real. For some of them, it can mean literally life or death. And you know, many of us in the church, we tend to put levels of severity on sin. We just do. It's our human nature. We tend to look at other people's struggles. And because that struggle may not affect me, in our minds, their sin or their propensity to partake in that sin is far more severe than what it is that I'm dealing with. And as I prepared for this message this week, certainly my dear friends at AA and Celebrate Recovery were on my mind. But can I be honest with you? It's not them I'm worried about. It's not. They get it. They understand this concept that I'm preparing, that I prepared for you today about being ready when temptation comes. I worry the most about those who are tempted with quieter, less noticeable sin. Those who struggle with temptation to sin in ways that only they'll ever know because it's private, it's personal, it's quiet. It's done in the privacy of their home. No one has to know anything about it. And I want to say to those of you today, just because you are tempted to sin in ways that doesn't show outward sign of intoxication or make you trip out publicly for all to see, you've got to understand that your struggle is just as serious. And in God's eyes, there is absolutely no difference. Because in His eyes, sin is sin. And until you can become as transparent as the AA or the Celebrate Recovery attender, I fear you are in deeper trouble than they are. Because at least they daily prepare to battle against their temptation, and that's what this message is all about today. Jesus so desperately wants to see all of His children not only resist temptation, but to stop it dead in its tracks so that you don't act out in sin. I'd like to have our prayer team come forward, if you would. I'd like you to spread out across the front of this building, all of those on our prayer team. Today, if this message has hit a chord with you, and you realize that you're tired of giving into temptation, and you want to be able to stand strong against it, I want to invite you to come down here today when I give the invitation and let one of these people pray with you. And if you don't want to pray with someone, you can bow down at this altar and you can pray. Pray for God to strengthen you during your weakest times. You see, there is power in agreement. There is power whenever we stand together with brothers and sisters in the Lord and we stand in agreement. It says if we agree on any one thing, God will show up and things will change. And if you're here today and you realize you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and furthermore, you've come to realize that you always give in whenever temptation comes your way and you're tired of it, Jesus wants to save you today. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to forgive you of your sins and to guide you in your life daily through His Holy Spirit. He wants to strengthen you so that you can begin to stand firm in times when you're being tempted. Or if you're here today and you just need prayer about something in your life, I want to open this altar up to all of you. If you fit any of those three descriptions, or if you just want to come up here and pray, this altar is open. Don't be afraid. While the worship team plays music, I just want you to feel free to come forward. Spend some time with God. Because God wants to do something special in your life today. It is moments like these when you hear a message that has been custom made for you. And it's not just custom made for you. It's custom made for 100 people in here. But it seems like it was custom made for you. Those are the times that you need to respond, because God brought you here for a reason and for a purpose, to hear this message and to be encouraged by it and to stand up against the wiles of our enemy. So as the worship band plays, please feel free to come down so I can pray with you.
More love, more power, more of You in my life. More love, more.